Well, just start. Yeah, it's probably fairly simple. I think that we don't need to spend too much time. First of all, you've all seen the presentation, haven't you? Have they seen the latest version of the presentation? Maybe that's it.
I think so, because the only thing I dropped out is the... I dropped out two slides, so it's a bit shorter now. So basically what it shows now is what is the working group history and purpose, then it shows the motivation for doing the survey, then the survey results, and then the proposed way forward. That's it. So it's, I think it's around 8 or 9 slides right now.
Okay. And maybe send it round once more, or you can run it.
Do you want me to put it on the screen?
Yeah, maybe just as simple. So everybody has seen it before we present it on Wednesday, Louise and you. If there is something here. Yeah, here it is. I think, secondly, and maybe that's an idea, Norm, say, for, that's why you probably you've seen it and heard it, say, moving away from when you got involved from a very elaborate system based on the results of the survey. And then the question is for us or for the working group is how to take the next steps. And probably, and but first is... based on that survey, there is a conclusion there, and the working group agreed, and maybe you can have a comment on it. Let me run through the...
Yeah, it's already on the screen. That's pretty good. Okay, so I also changed the title a little bit. Now it's just not... Now it's in a survey results and proposed way forward, and these are the two main points that we would like to make, I think. So then it says here what the working group history and mandate is. So in terms of goal, feasible models, and also basically where the working group originated from. That's the bottom bullet there. Then a slide on the survey. So why did we carry out the survey? I think there are 4 main reasons for it. So the first one was to the thing that we established was that it was difficult to convey the added value of the service without any, you know, real world use cases. It says realistic here, but maybe I should say real world. Then we have the financial and trust constraints that complicate the development and operation of a system like this. Then the impact of the potential impact that it depends on the number of subscribers of the system. And fourthly, that the working group was established quite a long time ago, and that therefore that the landscape has considerably changed over time. So these would then be the 4 prime motivations to carry out the survey. So these are the results. So there's 2 graphs, 2 tables in there. The top one, the top left one, is the contains all responses. So even for people who didn't fill out the survey completely, and then the bottom table is only those people, those folks who filled out every question. So there were 53 respondents, and 26 of them filled out all the questions. But it doesn't really matter in terms of results, because the primary result is basically the orange circles over there, which is the tension, if you will, between the perceived added value of the repository and the willingness of ccTLDs to actually pay for it. And that's the key problem I think we're facing. So the conclusion then that I'm drawing is that there's still a... at least a perceived need for a global contact repository for incident response, based on the survey results, but there's a clear tension with the willingness to pay. And therefore, our recommendation is to actually move forward in a much simpler way with a secure mailing list, which we could iteratively expand into a more complex system based on people's experience with this more simple solution. And at the same time, we should also consider alternatives such as a more regional approach, for instance, in Center or in Latvia. So, and this is just to give the audience a bit more feeling for what we're, a bit more feeling for how to implement this secure mailing list. So it could be a mailman server running somewhere on Newsroom Ground, if you will, so at ICANN or at ISOC, I don't know yet. And it could be subject to these rules I outlined there, so only accessible to security and stability representatives of CCTLDs, at most two people per CCTLD on the list. CEOs determine who gets on the list for their organization and that sort of thing. Of course, this is not the only possibility. There are probably more, but this is one that came to mind. So I'm ending with a pretty bold statement at the end there, which is that I think that this should be doable to get it up and running before the ICANN meeting in London. So this is, I'm not even sure if you can read this, but so the purpose of this picture is to show that we should, that we propose an iterative approach with us being over here. So this is the CRI working group, and we aim to finish at the end of April, beginning of May somewhere, and then we go into this phase where we set up the secure mailing list, which after a while we can expand based on experience that we have with it, with this mailing list. So basically that's the iterative approach in which you would, you know, reconsider if you would want to develop a more complex system. But this picture is difficult to read. And I think that also I should mention here that this is supposed to be the task of a new working group. So I think the CRI working group should end here. So this is basically what I just said. So final report by the CRI working group, closure of the working group, and then start a new working group to implement this secure mailing list and other recommendations. And then one slide to basically ask people, okay, how do you feel about this approach, so they can, you know, rate their orange or red or green cards. And then I'm basically done.
Okay. Luis Espinosa. Yeah, we were talking about the this approach of mailing list. It's not as with all the requirements of the original charter. I was talking with Norm Ritchie in South Africa about this contact repository implementation, and it's a good thing because Norm was the chair of the incident response team at the beginning. And this working group, incident response, create this other, the contact repository implementation. Then he has an idea what was charted to this working group. In this way, it's a good thing. Provide something simple and quicker to provide a solution, but. In the way we are, in my personal perspective, it's still not a contact repository in the way that some CISART should manage. Then I like to, maybe for the final report, provide some information about the what should be the path in the future. And after that, finish and keep going with the mailings. But at least leave something of the work we did in the past about the yes.
May I say the final the way I've envisioned it, the final report is you want a very simple final report, just say what the mandate was, blah, 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 why we ended up this way, why we had the survey, results of the survey based on that, and say what we did in the meantime, because this working group did a lot of work that is taking into account into the annex and therefore available for future use. And among the future use would be, say, if you look at the iterative approach, let's say over time you fall back on the requirements, etc. If you would go for, because that was always the consideration, go for a full-scale contact repository as was the starting point as envisioned. Because that is not wasted in that sense, but say that was the sanity check we've done. If you would start implementing this at once, you would really run into the funding problem and the governance problem, because that's not even included. And that's probably maybe it's too much of an assumption, but it's in Christian's slides. This is only successful if a vast majority of the CCTLD subscribe to it. If it's just a limited group, then forget it. Why do it anyway? And then, especially for a vast, vast majority, the funding issue will become a real issue. If you just think about, say we did the calculation for, at the time, Trusted Intruder, I believe it's called, you would end up in quite a lot of money on a yearly basis, and then you come into the funding. Who's going to pay for it?
Yeah, I remember we saw some numbers about the $1,000 a year per member.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we think about the small CCTLD will not allow to pay that quantity of money and recurring money. Yeah. And we found the one of the big issues about this full size contact repository is this maintenance.
Yeah.
That is the role of the contact center. Well, the thing is, this is very, very important because we provide some exit. But for the final report, I will keep some of the information.
You provide both. First of all, you provide an exit because, in a way, when we started, it was a dead-end street from the start, maybe, already. But secondly, the work is not lost. Because it shows, say, these are the consequences. If you start moving into that world, then you need to take this into resolve these issues.
Yeah, and taking in consideration this full repository is more close to incident response team like CERT or CERT. Norm has some experience in this kind of environment, security environments. Then the idea to bring him here, or we could talk about this. Maybe we can include some additional proposal about how cool looks like this content repository in full with a proposal of.
Okay, Norm Ritchie, guest. So I'm here representing the Secure Debating Foundation, which will officially launch actually Monday morning. Yay. Something we've been working on for 2 years. If you want to have a look at the website, go to securedebating.org. But the whole idea is to really work in a cooperative way on mitigating abuse of domain names. So that's registries, registrars, hosting companies, not affiliated with ICANN, though. So this doesn't mean there's no ICANN involvement here. This is a separate entity. Obviously, it's all voluntary. It's been extremely well received so far. The first time we've actually presented the idea was at Tech Day in Costa Rica, actually. So it was 2 years ago. We have a extensive repository now of malicious contact information. So that would be like, we have about 7.5 million email addresses that are associated with malicious activity. We actually analyze about 200,000 pieces of malware per day, extract the domain names, and share that with whoever wants the information. So, for instance, for a ccTLD, on a daily basis, we'll say, here's the domains we've seen within this ccTLD that we've found, and here's why we're calling them malicious. It's up to you what you want to do with that. However, the goal of this is really to combat malicious behavior. So with the contact database, when I saw this on the agenda, I said, hey, well, first of all, it was something I actually started way back when, and it kind of fell apart. I still believe very strongly that it's the right thing to do. And even if you can't get all the pieces together, just that simply having that contact, that outreach, so you don't get another case of it was Configure C that hit all the press and everything else was a big mess. Couldn't even reach the ccTLDs in many cases. In one case, the contact actually been dead for 5 years. Like, that's how bad it was. There's a strong political ramification to that as well. You have people like the ITU. They look at the ccTLDs and said, you have a bunch of cats running around, you're hurting cats, you can't even get them to cooperate on one simple little thing. That's a great example of why they should be taking over, right? What's coming up is the internet governance is a big focal point. That's going to come up again. ccTLD is going to be a hot spot. And once again, it's going to be the shredding cat things. So I think it's extremely important that on the very least that you get the contacts done for the incident response, not just for the members of the CCNSO. You have like 142 members now, I think, in the CCNSO, which is great. But I believe there's about 300 or so ccTLDs. I think that's more than the number of countries in the world. So the SDF can also outreach to them. We intend to do that anyway. We need to establish those contacts, and also we're going to say, hey, we will help you deal with your malicious behavior. We're doing this anyway. So we're more than happy, if you want, to host your contact database. There'd be no charge. There's no charge for the SDF. It's free. We're funded by sponsors, and be honest, we have more offers for money than we can deal with. So it's a good problem to have, right?
I wouldn't even call it a problem.
Yeah, it's a good problem. Well, for a nonprofit, it actually is a problem. You can't have too much money. But we started out doing it free as something I think is near and dear to a ccTLD is that we didn't want to charge because that would make it difficult for small registries and small registrars to participate in it. So we kind of figured out how to solve that problem. We said, screw it, it's free. And we also work with the gTLDs, of course. The new gTLDs, I think we've probably have either have signed up, offered their support, or intend to. I'd say our coverage is probably about 95% of the gTLDs. The ccTLDs, not as much. It tends to be the major ones. Some have concerns about privacy, which I understand. That they have to deal with that on their own. We can't force anyone to participate. It's just yeah. I think the SDF can certainly help you. We will go after the same ccTLDs and bug them. The more people going after them, I think the better. They might get the message. So I guess we're offering to join forces with you. Also offering, if you want the repository, we've hosted on Amazon now. We have to be because we know we're going to get hit. It's a very robust environment. So if you want, we'll post that for you, no charge.
May I suggest that as a way forward, say, we're going to present this, if we include in the final report, say, this mechanism as a potential way in which you can do it, and probably there are others as well, but this is say, people who know the CCs, and this is a way to set it up quickly and in order to achieve the goals as such.
Yeah, as I said, we have development resources as well. We have people that volunteer their time, but we also have one that we pay. He's quite brilliant. He could throw something together pretty quick, or get a package, whatever. I would suggest, though, that you don't use a single repository. You have some type of backup. Right.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, cool. Thanks. Yeah, as an example, and as a potential way to implement it, so as we said,
or as was from the slides from the slides from Christian, if you wanted it. By now, it is about time that it's done quickly. If you do a lightweight system, then you need to join forces.
Yeah, so that's actually one of the things about the FCF. It's very lightweight. And we don't have a lot of legal documents on purpose. The ones we do are very short and terse. And we don't have a large board to deal with or anything. There's Chris Davis and myself. We make the decisions. When we have no bones about it, we do it. But it works. It's worked very well so far. Once we get the FCF gets growing, I'm sure it'll get slower. But right now, the whole idea is to be very nimble and responsive.
As an alternative, as a potential way forward.
That was the idea to bring Norm and to talk about this a little bit, add value to the proposal, and put that on the table as a way. Yeah.
The other thing too, you might want to join yourself just because it's interesting to you. But it's not just registrars. It's also like Facebook, PayPal. There's security professionals. We actually have people that are in human rights involved as well, because you don't want to mess up by bringing attention to domains. We have safeguards and stuff. So, but anyway, have a look at it. It's a securedomain.org, and look for the press release Monday morning.
All right. Excellent.
Okay, I think let's go back to one thing is, so for Wednesday morning, the two of you will present, Luis and Christian. You say, because Wednesday morning is a presentation, so you're going to sit on the on front and let Christian do the presentation, something like this, the logistics of it. It's just as easy, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
I sort of assumed that.
But just to make sure this would happen, is it an idea that, say, Christian and I write up the final report and then as a group we send it to the group? And say would say the offer of Norm, because this can be done very rapidly, and then we will send it around and include a reference to say what you just said, your offer, and include it as well, and then put the annexes where they are, have one more read with it as a working group, and then submit it to the to the council.
Yeah, sounds like fine.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm okay.
Yeah. Then we have a reasonable way forward, I guess, and some. Yeah, and try to get it on the council meeting. When is the next council meeting? Not in this week, but somewhere in April, I believe. Yeah. Otherwise, say you're ambitious about nothing, but at least we get something done.
If we can get it on the next council meeting, not this one, but the 17th of April.
So
we send out a doodle poll for a call 2 weeks in advance. So that's around 3rd of April.
So that's after this meeting.
That's really
kind of close.
Yeah.
because I need to meet up.
But there's a council meeting every 2 weeks or every four weeks?
Every 4 or 5 weeks. The other one will be somewhere end of May.
The end of May. Okay.
So if, oh, 1 week before, let's say there is no time limit, say we can submit it 1 week before. But if I know, we can put it on the agenda.
Yeah, maybe you should try to do the to finish it for the April council meeting.
But it will come
at least
up.
Try it.
Let's have that condition, try to close it at the April council meeting. Yeah.
Okay. We're done. Okay. Done. Yeah. Want to say something?
I have no comment.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks.